Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome into another Pitt Panther Rants and Other Sports Rants podcast. Vlad Harris, your host, brought to you by The Sports Drink. Happy Tuesday to you guys. We're, you know, Christ, we're almost midway through April, and pretty soon it'll be summer before you know it. You know, life just goes by fast, I guess. And as Ferris Bueller said, you got to stop and look around, you know, because you never know when it's going to be gone. Or something like that. Something that goes fast and you need to stop and look around and, you know. I'm not going to go find the quote. That being said, I had, let's see, my championship, I had UConn beating, I think, Arizona, I think. Or Duke. It was one of the two. I think it was UConn beating Duke. I had Purdue in the Final Four. I knew that much. I had UConn Purdue because I just felt UConn was going to be on another level than everybody else, which they were. They were, you know, nobody could, you know, pretty much compete with UConn. I mean, it seemed like teams gave UConn a hard time in the first half, and then whatever. You know, Mr. Hurley made his adjustments, and that was that. And that's pretty much what I noticed was he made some adjustments, and that was that. I mean, Bama, it looked like Bama was going to give them a hard time, but as you saw as the first half was playing out, you could tell how the second half was going to be. You know, pretty much UConn was going to pretty much, you know, pull away from that game. There just wasn't enough for me to convince me that Bama was going to. Win that game. They may have stayed in the game, but that was about it. That's all I can give for that. NC State had a magical run, but it wasn't going to last forever. When I saw that DJ Burns was in foul trouble in the first half, I figured that's pretty much how the game was going to go. I mean, NC State did try to make a run. Just wasn't enough. I mean, they, for what they finished, you know, in the regular season and the run that they had, it's, you know, it's a run that's going to be talked about for a long time. I mean, they pulled off some big wins and they played out of their mind. The one thing these teams all had in common, Bama, NC State, UConn, Purdue, one thing they all had in common is they had a dominant inside presence. Because you can only go, I mean, guard play can get you so far, but you got to have inside presence. And that's just one thing that Pitt's been missing is an inside presence. They haven't had one in God knows how long. I know people are going to say Gary McGee, but I'm going to say DeJuan Blair. To me, that's the last time they ever had a really dominant inside presence. Because anybody else after DeJuan Blair just doesn't resonate with me. And I don't care who you throw at me, what the statistics that, you know, the games that they had, whatever, it just doesn't resonate with me. You know, that's, I think that's one thing that's all, I carried Pitt, you know, in the early Dixon years was inside and Howland as well. Let's add Ben Howland to that, was inside presence. You know, they had guys that were tough. They could defend, and of course they can wrestle for the ball. I mean, we're talking Chris Taft, when Taft was healthy. Troutman, Ontario Lett, Torrey Morris, although Torrey was more of a defender than he was an offensive player. And of course we can't forget Chevy Troutman, Mr. Booty Patrol himself. And then of course, can't forget Blair. And of course, LaVon Kendall and Aaron Gray, which I said last night on my Twitter feed or X or whatever you call it. I said, basically, if you take, you know, LaVon Kendall and mix him with Aaron Gray, you get, you know, Zach Edey. You know, because Aaron was a big guy. He was dominant. But, I mean, if that guy could have just gone on an exercise bike more often and been more mobile, he had been more dominant than what he was. I mean, he did play in the NBA. I give him that. He did spend some time in the pros. Excuse me. But I always felt that if he had just some sort of mobility, he would be more of a badass than what he was. But yeah, anybody else after Blair, just, I don't know. Gary McGee wasn't bad. I just wasn't crazy about the guy. Yeah, that's really all I can say about that. And it's just like, we really didn't have that type of a guy. I mean, we had some, you know, players that were obviously serviceable, but at least in my opinion were serviceable. I just didn't think they were on a level. And maybe that's my problem, is I saw how great DeJuan Blair was inside, and I got maybe spoiled by that. You know, now my expectations are just low, but Pitt's really been lacking that inside presence. I mean, they've had to rely on guard play, and it's gone in places, but you can only shoot so many threes and hope that they go in. I mean, we saw that this year where Pitt lost a bunch of games because they, you know, their key players couldn't shoot the ball. I mean, they were shooting, it's just the ball, you know, it just wasn't going in. And we were I was hoping to see more out of the Diaz-Graham twins this year. And they're just obviously still a work in progress. And by the time they develop, and we have an inside presence, we won't have any guards. That seems to be the issue with Pitt hoops. We get inside presence, we just don't have guards. We get guards, we don't have inside presence. It sucks. But anyways, I kind of figured after, when I watched the women's final, I was like, you know, we're pretty much going to be sucked into a snooze fest between UConn and Purdue, where UConn wins 59-44. I mean, UConn did win by double digits. I just got the score off. The first half, you know, you could tell in the first half UConn was pulling away. And the second half, they just kicked it up a notch, and that was it. You know, once you know, it was like a 7-point lead, 8-point lead. Purdue was lurking around. Once Purdue hit that, and once UConn hit that double digit lead, that was it. They just had nothing to go on. You know, UConn just too talented. And, of course, the Pitt-Bobby Hurley tweet resurfaced. Yeah, Pitt did offer him. No, I should get that right. That's Danny Hurley, not Bobby Hurley. Pitt did offer Danny Hurley. Bobby Hurley coaches in Arizona State. They offered him, I think, $3 million. And I think, that was that Rothstein tweet where, you know, Pitt offered him $3 million. With Rhode Island and UConn still in play. I don't think Hurley was ever going to come to Pitt. It was a long shot, if anything else. He definitely wasn't going to come if UConn was still in play. Because it was going to be a lot easier for him to win at UConn than it was at Pitt. Maybe after Jamie Dixon left, takes a TCU job, maybe then we could have gotten Danny Hurley if he was available. You know, making a play, and I mean, the rumor was that Sean Miller was interested. Well, according to Arizona, he was in, he was still in, you know, on campus. But we have pictures of him in Oakland getting pizza from Antunes because a certain person from KKA, I believe, reported that he was at Pitt. In fact, who was that? Was that Rich? Oh, Richie Walsh. Yep, Richie said that Sean was at Pitt interviewing for the vacancy. But the Arizona people got really upset over this, and of course took a picture of Sean, of him walking on campus, and of course, South Oakland for Life, who I should definitely give credit for this, posted a photo of Sean outside of Antunes walking with a pizza in his hand. You know, and of course that kind of pissed off the Arizona people for whatever reason whatsoever. They seemed really offended that Sean was in Pitt interviewing for the job. I mean, God forbid a guy goes to his alma mater and interviews, or it's been reported or rumored that he's at his alma mater interviewing. You know, God fucking forbid. But we ended up with Kevin Stallings for whatever reason. Only Scott Barnes knows why. And, well, two seasons later, Pitt finishes winless in ACC play. We're back to the drawing board. We offered Danny Hurley that $3 million deal a year. I mean, it's not like Heather didn't try to get him. I mean, her heart was in the right place, obviously, and her head was, well, she knew who to go for. It just didn't work out. I mean, especially with UConn still in play. I mean, since 98-99 up until Danny Hurley was hired at UConn, UConn won 4 national titles. Pitt went to 1 Elite Eight. That, you know, UConn's claim to fame was 4 national titles. Pitt's claim to fame was 1 Elite Eight. And just barely missing the Final Four. So, and not to mention at the time when UConn was looking for a new coach after getting rid of Kevin Ollie, it wasn't too long ago they won a national title. So where would you go? You would go to UConn, because eventually they were going to go to the Big East if they weren't there already. I forget how that went. I know they were an American for a little bit, and supposedly it was hurting their basketball program. They go into the Big East, and of course they have plenty of money and resources. I mean, Gino Auriemma is still there, and he was still winning. So, it may, obviously, if you're going to pick between Pitt and UConn, you're going to go with UConn, and that's where he went. Pitt ends up with Jeff Capel, and we've been rebuilding ever since. Well, it seems Jeff has got us on the right path. I think he does. You know, Pitt gave him that extension at a time where it looked like Pitt was going to make the tournament. Things fell apart. Then the next season, they fell apart. They gave him all the resources. And, of course, they made the tournament last year and won 2 tournament games. And they won 20-plus games this time around and just barely missed the tournament. It happens. But, I watched the first half of UConn-Purdue, and once I saw how that was going to play out, I just turned it off. I just said, yeah, this is going to be a UConn snooze fest in the second half, which it was. I mean, it was basically, that tournament was UConn and everybody else. All right, now let's go to our next topics, because, you know, of course, we can't forget one shining moment as well that I watched that late last night after the tournament was over. And, you know, Duquesne had 2 mentions. And speaking of that, it looks like Duquesne Beer's making another comeback. I think that's going to be the third time they're coming back. Somewhere back in Pittsburgh, I have a Duquesne Beer clock. It's a vintage beer clock. Next time, if I'm ever back in Pittsburgh, I'll have to look for that. But yeah, Duke, you know, we had Duke, there was Duquesne, but yeah, it made its comeback, I think in early 2010s, I think it came back. I had it. It wasn't bad beer. You know, they made a, they made some commemorative Joe Paterno cans at one point. There was that. But I mean, the other day I was wondering, is Duquesne beer still brewing? And then of course, now I'm seeing the tweets resurface, and it looks like they're back on production, and I guess this is their third go around. I mean, I think Duquesne beer is just something they're gonna bring back every, you know, 10 years or 20 years. They're gonna bring it back for nostalgia. That's how it all goes. I mean, what else could they bring back for nostalgia? I mean, Pittsburgh wise. I mean, can they bring back, you know, some more Isleys? I mean, an Isleys maybe? Like an actual, not that, I know you can buy the ham at the store, but could they go to the actual, you know, open actual Isleys store, you know, with those ice cream scoopers that they're supposedly buried in the hillside in Oakland on Bates Street somewhere. That's the rumors, that they're buried somewhere. I heard that story. You know, could we see that? I mean, what are some, you know, I'm sure there's plenty of businesses in Oakland we'd like to see come back every once in a while. You know, Uncle Sam's you can go to Uncle Sam's on Squirrel Hill. I mean, that's still good. But the one in Oakland is where you had to go to. I mean, that's the one you really need to be at. Squirrel Hill was the closest one to it. I've been to the one in the waterfront, and not the waterfront, but Waterworks. Waterworks, I'm not sure what that is. It just felt like it was the bastard child of the two franchise, of the two locations. I mean, what can we bring back that's now gone? I mean, I'm talking food places. I mean, I'm sure Ames is supposedly making a comeback, but I'd rather see Hills. We'd love to see Bonkers Candy make a comeback. I mean, the Clark Bar came back. I ordered it, I think, years ago when it came back, and it just, I don't know, it just, something seems like it was missing. I don't, you know, it was a miss. And I just never ordered ever since. You know, I don't know. I mean, I would love to see them bring back the Bar None Candy Bar. That was one of my favorites growing up. Yeah, there's a lot I can think about, but this podcast will go silent and you'll feel like there's dead air. So let's keep it moving. Women's hoops ended its historic run. I watched the Final Four last year. And of course, the year before I watched it, and you know, I would say this is probably the one. You know, I was. You know, it was Friday night, and I was eager, man. It was a 6 p.m. tip-off, Central Time. I was excited to watch those games. You know, of course, I did flip on the Tarazi and Bird commentary, because it's always going to be good, because the longer it goes, the more drunker they get, and the more, you know, the more stuff they say. Although I was loving their commentary on Caitlin Clark, they were determining her status in college women's hoops, if she's a GOAT or whatnot. And they were saying that she needed to win a championship to be, you know, for her worth in college hoops, women's college hoops, to be determined. And I just found that was kind of hilarious coming from two, you know. It was those two and Kelsey Plum that were talking about that. I just felt it was kind of humorous to see three people that pretty much spent their college careers playing with other blue chip players determining somebody who was taking Iowa to a national title game, determining her worth. I mean, I'm sure Caitlin could win anywhere. I mean, she ended up at Iowa, and you know, in Donna Taurasi and Sue Bird's case, they play around blue chip players, and they're really, their only competition was Tennessee at the time with Pat Burns. You know, sometimes Notre Dame made an appearance. I think Stanford maybe too. But that was about it. So it's like, it must be nice to go and play with other blue chip players. Try to say, you know, this person isn't, you know, can't be among the goats. And I'm sure after the, just by seeing some of the tweets that I saw from some people after Iowa lost to South Carolina, you could tell that some of those people had them saving their drafts, waiting for that clock to tick zero. I will say that Dawn Staley, you know, gave a lot of credit to Caitlin Clark. She's, you know, basically said that she carried a huge burden on her shoulder for women's college hoops. I mean, they set a lot of records for, you know, in terms of for ratings. I mean, the finals game. I mean, I was skeptic of that early tip off, but it worked. It really, really worked. But you know, and I'm sure a lot of people tuned in either to watch Caitlin Clark and to root for her, or to see her quote unquote fail or to lose. And, you know, if anything, hopefully it brings more eyes to women's college hoops and the WNBA. Maybe this is the break they need. Regardless, you have to give credit where credit's due. But I do think that, I know as much attention went to Caitlin, I will say that once the clock did strike zero on that game, it was time to celebrate Dawn Staley and what she accomplished. I mean, they went 39-0, you know, and won the national championship. They almost lost the game against Tennessee. Tennessee played really bad defense. I know they fired their coach, and if there's one thing that probably got her fired, it was probably that loss. I'm sure their late coach, Pat Summitt, I think I called her Pat Burns earlier. If I did, I apologize. Goes to show how much of a casual I am in this crap. I'm sure Pat Summitt was probably rolling in her grave when that last play, because she was left wide open. But I mean, Dawn Staley's team, I was really impressed with them. Very well coached. I mean, they on defense, they just look for the little things. I mean, they scored before the first half was over. You know, Caitlin Clark had the ball stolen from her, and she was actually being very lazy with the ball when she was dribbling it. And they caught her sleeping. And that's pretty much, you know, what really impressed me with South Carolina is just how they were looking for little things. And they were just, you know, scoring. You know, they were just making plays. I think the one play that really killed the game for Iowa was when they were down 76-70 late in that game, and they got the ball. Their player took it down the court, and I was thinking she was going to stop, you know, maybe dribble the ball out and wait for her team to come in. Instead, she tried to take the ball to the hoop or do it all herself. And, of course, South Carolina got the ball and they scored. And I think if she holds on the ball, maybe it's, you know, they score at 76-72 or 76-73, who knows. But to me, that was pretty much, that you know, that was the nail in the coffin for, you know, for that game. And it was quite obvious. I mean, Iowa was getting out-rebounded, and it seemed like a lot of the calls were going Iowa's way in the first half. All that was happening, and yet they were down three at halftime. That didn't bode well for them in the second half. But, I mean, regardless, Iowa still had a great run. I mean, I didn't expect them to get past Gino Auriemma, which they did. You know, that, I mean, it sucked that for that game to end on that call, but if you talk to several coaches, I mean, I know I did, they all said it was a foul. And if it's a foul, you got to call it. You know, would I've called it late? If I'm a referee, I'm probably swallowing the whistle. But if UConn scores or forces overtime or comes back to win or hits a three, we're probably going to bitch about that moving screen. Yeah, we're probably going to bitch about it. So, you know, it technically was a moving screen, and that's what it was called. That's all you can really say about it. Now, you know, Kalen's obviously going to go to the NBA. Lots of star power there. I mean, Angel Reese will be there. So many good players. I mean, it's, you know, it remains to be seen how Kalen's game, you know, transitions to the WNBA, but she still, regardless, is going to have a heavy burn on her shoulders because now she has to, she's going to the WNBA, and there's going to be a lot of people that are, they're going to be depending on her. And if you think about it, in terms of carrying burdens and whatnot, and all the stuff that she's taking from people, I mean, if there's anybody that could handle this, it's her. I mean, it's just how she carries herself. I mean, she knows there's people that are rooting against her, and that's just life. But in the meantime, I'm done here. We've hit 26, 27 minutes. I've talked enough about women's hoops and men's hoops. Stuff we like to bring back as far as franchises and whatnot. Because there's, you know, there's really not much else to... Yeah. I guess we officially sleep in May. Well, Buckeyes baseball is here, and they're obviously doing pretty well. I don't watch baseball enough anymore, and plus hockey as well, because I don't live in a hockey town, so whatever. Anyways, guys, hell to pit.